I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Now it's time for a weekly visit to the barbershop, where the guys talk about what's in the news and what's on their minds. Sitting in the chairs for a shape-up this week are writer and culture critic Jimmy Israel. He's with us in our Washington, D.C. studios, along with civil rights attorney Arsalan Iftikhar. Joining us from Boston, former doctor, now healthcare consultant, and a contributor to National Review magazine, Neil Minkoff. And in New York City, Pablo Torre. He is a senior writer with ESPN.com. Come. Take it away, Jimmy.
Thanks, Michelle. Hey, fellas, welcome to the shop. How are we doing?
Hey, hey, hey.
What's going on? We do good.
All right. Well, it's Super Bowl shop this week.
What? Yeah.
Go No. Go Ravens. You know I'm from Cleveland, right? So I got to represent. I can't cheer for the Browns, but there's always next year, right? But some fans are thinking twice about rooting for the San Francisco 49ers after cornerback Chris Culliver got caught up in a controversy. Michelle, oh, man, we got a sports star caught up in a controversy. Clutch the pearls.
I know. Clutch the pearls. How can we possibly imagine?
We got some tape, though, right?
You know, we do. Culliver, just to sort of give you the backstory, he was approached by radio personality Artie Lang. He's known as a regular guest for Howard Stern, commonly called Shock Jock, although they hate that term. They prefer talk show personality or something like that. So then, anyway, Artie Lang asked Culliver about whether there were any gay players on the team, and this is what he said.
They don't got no gay people on the team. You know, they got to get up out of here if they do. Can't be with that sweet stuff.
Nah. Really, is that true?
Yeah, it's true.
But they might be able to play well, I mean.
Nah.
No?
Nah. Can't be in the locker room, nah.
Oh, okay. So they'd have to stay, keep it a secret.
Yeah, you got to come out 10 years later after that.
So Culliver later apologized for those comments, and he said he was through a spokesman. I'll just say that. And he said he was thrown off by being asked, quote, real disrespectful, unquote, questions. For example, previously Lang had asked him whether he would be hooking up with women or men before the game. So anyway, that's his story.
Yeah, thanks, Michelle. It's a bug out to me that I really felt like he was led into this line of questioning that was designed to make him look kind of silly. That's number one, and number two, I'm not sure if we should persecute him because he's ignorant. You know, let his opinion evolve like our president's opinion had to evolve at some point. You know, it bothers me that we bully people for their opinions not being PC enough in any given moment, and it always seems, especially with matters that involve homosexuality, that black men are always bullied for not evolving fast enough and their opinion. And that's just my opinion. It took me some time for my opinion to evolve. I worked in a gay bar. I was a DJ. I worked in a gay bar for 4 years, and my opinion had to evolve. You know, everybody gets that right to be dumb, you know, at some point, to be ignorant at some point, and then have their opinion evolve. He doesn't need to be, crucified for this. Pablo, you've reported on this. What do you think?
Okay, can I just clarify one thing, Pablo, that he also went on mic to apologize, too. I just thought I'd clarify.
Did.
Let me
read
that. Okay.
Yeah. Right. First off, Jimmy, I would have loved to have gone to that bar. That sounds like
it was the bomb. It was the bomb. The best music in the city.
I'm not even kidding. That sounds like it would be amazing.
It was.
I guess where I differ with you on this is that, you know, well, I guess what was problematic for me and disappointing for me as somebody who sees anybody with that sort of opinion as being on the wrong side of history, the reason why I'm troubled by this is because he's from the San Francisco 49ers.
Right,
he
right,
plays in the Bay
right.
Area. And the first time I heard this, I was just like, you got to be kidding me.
So he should pander, right?
No, it's not he should pander. It's the matter of being not quite so insensitive. I mean, it's not like he was having a – again, it's Artie Lang. It's not sitting across the table from Charlie Rose. But it's not like this was a very tough IQ test either. I mean, what I grant is that the guy doesn't get interviewed very much. He's a low-level backup. It's fine. But what I'm troubled by is this is the exact type of language which is really troublesome in the NFL and in sports in particular. It's oftentimes not the guys who are beating their Bibles and going fire and brimstone on everybody. It's the guys who are joking about this very casually as if there's nothing wrong with it and as if you can be a normal person and really be that insensitive. And you know, maybe we have different barriers, different thresholds for PC-ness. But for me, it's that type of talk which is always – you know, that's how a stigma sort of festers. It's because it's very casual and it's off the cuff and it doesn't seem like it's a big deal until it is. And that's why we don't have these players coming out while they're active.
A-Train.
So can I jump in here for a second?
Arslan wants to jump in here, and we're going to hear from you too, Neil.
Of course. I'm gonna co-sign my man Pablo here. You know, I think that there are a couple things to keep in mind. First of all, you know, this is not somebody having a political opinion, you know, opposing gay marriage, which, again, every, you know, American has a right to believe. This is a person saying that a certain group of people would not be welcome in his locker room. So it's sort of a fill-in-the-blank thing. So instead of gay people, let's say Latinos are not welcome in our locker room, or Jewish or Muslim people are not welcome in our locker room. I think, you know, the uproar would be pretty unanimous there. And so, you know, for many people in the LGBT community, you know, this is part of their civil rights movement in America today. This is not, you know, evolving an opinion, Jimmy, in terms of like a political position that you might have for or against gay marriage, let's say. But this is specifically saying that a certain group of people are not going to be welcome in our locker room, which, again, as Pablo mentioned, happens to be in San Francisco, which obviously has one of the more well-known LGBT communities in the country.
Well, that's not his call. He wouldn't welcome him in his locker room. So what you do in this situation, since he's ignorant, is you educate him. But you don't string him up because he's not ready, because his mind can't get around
but
this idea.
I think string him up is a little strong. I understand it's a bigger speech. Anyway, Neil, go ahead.
It is a bigger speech.
That's fine. I just feel like we've done a 180 in some ways from when we talked about this a few months back, when some kids did a war whoop at an Elizabeth Warren rally, and we were a little less accepting of people that needed to get their mind around it, what they meant to be joking, and they were led in a certain direction. So I'm not agreeing with what he said. I actually was about to do the same fill-in-the-blank analysis that we just heard. But, you know, I do think that at some point the bullying about PC stuff just gets in the way.
Well, I think where I got to push back is...
Okay, Pablo, go ahead.
I mean, this is pretty clearly transparent prejudice.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, this isn't... I mean, being PC is one thing, but being completely insensitive and basically, you know, denigrating somebody on the basis of identity is a pretty, as I said, a pretty low bar to have to clear in terms of avoiding that. I mean, I just feel like in sports in particular, I mean, I think all of these athletes have a responsibility given their platform. And honestly, Jimmy, in terms of the pushback, I mean, I'm not saying we should fire the guy, but I am saying that the marketplace of ideas as it is constituted at present should have vociferously rejected the attempted sale that he was trying to make.
Well, yeah, and by bullying, what do we mean? I mean, is anybody saying you can't play? Is anybody saying you're cut from the team? Is anybody saying... I mean, I don't know what
well,
does
I mean,
mean?
What I'm saying is, I guess I'm drawing comparisons to other black men in the media that have been called on the carpet for saying things that have been construed as and have been outright homophobic. You know, we call for boycotts of their music. We call for them to be fired. Call for them, you know, to, you know, and for me, what we should call for is a dialogue, because they're clearly ignorant.
Sure.
Ignorant.
Well,
and we educate them. We don't want their jobs. We want them to be smarter.
Jimmy,
Go ahead, A-Train.
But I think in this case, if it were a white player who had said those same remarks, I think that the outrage would be as unanimous as it is here. I think, again, you know, it goes into this whole narrative, you know, that we've talked about on the barbershop about whether or not a professional sports athlete who's gay might actually come out. And I think that, you know, statements like this really do show the uber macho nature that currently still exists and is pervasive in locker rooms around the country today.
I mean, I don't know how this is different from the marketplace rejecting Rush Limbaugh as a color commentator for Monday Night Football, because they felt a lot of the people who listened to him felt that his comments about, for example, Donovan McNabb when he was at the Eagles were racist. And they thought, you know what? This is a sport with a lot of African-American representation. We're not saying as a citizen you don't have a right to your comments. What we're saying is we don't want to listen to you doing color commentary on Monday Night Football.
Well, the difference, to my mind, is that Rush is employed to be in front of a mic. This gentleman was not employed to be in front of a mic. He's employed to carry a ball. What do we want from him? We want him to be Charlie Rose? What do we want from him? I mean, come on.
That would be entertaining.
Jimmy, this isn't that
That would be entertaining.
Man.
All right, I think we got this. I understand where everybody's coming from. This is very interesting. This is very entertaining. Thank you. Very civil.
If you're
just joining us, we're having our weekly barbershop roundtable. We're joined by writer Jimmy Israel, civil rights attorney Arslan Iftikhar, National Review contributing writer Neil Minkoff, and sports writer Pablo Torre. Back to you, Jimmy.
All right, Michelle, thank you. Let's switch teams here. No, not like that. Ravens linebacker Ray Lewis.
So low.
Ray Lewis, he may have been happy to have a spotlight on somebody else this week. You know, he's set to retire after the Super Bowl, and folks have been saying He's one of the greatest players ever, except this week the story hasn't been about his greatness. It hasn't been that positive at all. Sports Illustrated reported that he's been using an unusual banned substance. Pablo, what's that about?
He's still clutching his pearls, Pablo.
I mean, you guys are not familiar with deer antler spray?
Yeah, I thought that was the active ingredient in Old English cologne. I mean,
yeah,
I,
I'm sure
I
Neil used to prescribe this all the time back in the day.
I wouldn't prescribe it because it's dangerous.
Yeah, I mean, well, maybe Neil can
what it is. I want to hear
from the sports perspective, what we've learned is that deer antler spray contains IGF-1, which is allegedly effective in some cases in healing cartilage and tendon injuries, but it's also banned by the NFL because it has performance-enhancing alleged qualities, potentially. The SI story was sort of talking about how I think the largest takeaway from this story is, number one, that maybe it's a PED-type substance that he used in trying to recover faster, but at the same time, it also is really dubious, and the guys who sold it allegedly to Ray Lewis are guys, I mean, it was a former male stripper who sells this stuff out of a van and his office is in the back of a fitness center. It's just kind of the lengths athletes go to for these sorts of cures and for any edge possible. And Ray Lewis obviously is at the center of this for a lot of reasons.
I'm dying to hear what Neil has to say about this. I know you're not practicing anymore, but this whole question of, you know, that some of the people think the whole idea that this is dangerous when you're talking about football is so ridiculous that why are we even talking about this? Football is inherently dangerous, so why are we making a big deal out of that? And what's your perspective on this?
Well, the fact is that we only know what hormones are because scientists in Europe in the 1500s responded to rooster extract. I mean, that's how we discovered hormones. There is tremendous cross-reactivity across all types of animals, and that deer lose their antlers, they regrow them. The chemicals that regrow those antlers every year are very powerful growth factors that are incredibly similar to IGF-1, which is like insulin, or human growth hormone. And that the issue is that if they're being used now, I grant that God only knows what was really in the back of the van. But if they really are using the deer antler extract and muscles are growing, then some of the muscles that could be growing would be, the heart and the diaphragm. And if those not start to get too big to work properly, you have some real problems.
You know what? I'm so disgusted right now. I know I'm being a girl about it, but I'm so disgusted now. I don't even want to.
Really? Because I'm drinking a pint of reindeer blood.
I totally love the visual of like some skeevy guy selling dope out of a van. You know,
let
A-Train with this. Go ahead, man.
Well, you know, when it comes to the whole discussion about the legacy of Ray Lewis, you know, many people are reminded about what happened 13 years ago in January of 2000 when Ray Lewis was initially charged with 2 counts of murder, but making deals with prosecutors, he later pled guilty to 1 charge, misdemeanor of obstruction of justice, in relation to the stabbing deaths of 2 people outside of an Atlanta nightclub after the 2000 Super Bowl.
The two people who were charged were acquitted.
I'm getting to that point, Michelle. Okay. So this latest deer antler, controversy, in terms of the entire narrative of Ray Lewis's legacy, is just the latest and sort of the cherry on top for many people. And, I know a lot of people who are not rooting for the Ravens because of Ray Lewis.
Yeah. I mean, whatever happened with his legal troubles, I mean, that can't be the gist of his legacy. I mean, why when you've done something and you've handled all the business behind it, why can't you just live the rest of your life? It's like, what is he, OJ?
I think that this gets at his legacy on the field.
Go ahead,
that's
Doc.
The problem with the deer antler stuff is that if he was using it and if it was the real deal, actual antler supplement, then it brings into question his legacy on the field. And that's where I think the real tarnish comes.
You know, Pablo, you were saying, though, that you feel that people just have a different attitude about these substances in different, like, it's really, people really care about this stuff in baseball and other sports less so. Why is that?
Yeah, you brought up a great point when you talked about, I mean, these guys who are already violently hurling themselves at each other as fast as possible and they're all sort of going all out, and it's obviously a very physical gladiatorial game. And that's the difference between the NFL and MLB. I think as much as we talk about the on-field legacy of Ray Lewis, which is a very valid discussion to have because of this news, I think there's a big difference in terms of how fans and how the public reacts. With baseball, we think about hallowed records, those magical numbers for home runs and so forth, and we think of it as a game of skill. Whereas football, I think people, it's sort of an open secret at this point that the NFL is rife with performance-enhancing drugs. I mean, HGH on down, a lot of which isn't tested for and can't be tested for. And the question is, do people really care? And I feel like a lot of people do not.
Okay.
Because it's such a physical game, and that's sort of the point.
All right. One more point is that Ray Lewis says he's never failed a drug test, and I'll just...
Neither did Lance Armstrong.
I know.
It's not particularly meaningful.
Here we go. All right. Before we go, guys, quick. Hands on your hearts. Let's do it.
And the home of the brave. The brave.
That was, of course, Beyonce, whose star of the halftime show. You're crying. I know you are.
Crying.
I know we all are. Well, Jimmy's not. But the star of the halftime show, and that was she was being dissed for lip syncing at the anthem at President Obama's inauguration, and she was saying, "Yes, I can sing. Thank you so much." Does that put the rest to it, Arsalan?
The only thing that could have topped it is if after singing "The Home of the Brave," you hear a loud thud from her dropping the microphone and walking off the stage.
Yeah, like Eric B. and Rakim style. Yeah, she drops the mic. You know, I don't know why you guys won't love her when she makes herself so easy to love. I mean, just let her be great. Please.
I think they love her. I think there's a lot of love for Beyonce right here.
I have just 2 points. One, Yo-Yo Ma was fake celloing, which I think is much worse than the last inauguration. And I'm a guy. Beyonce can do whatever Beyonce wants, and I'm going to have a high level of tolerance for it.
Amen, brother.
We do not deserve Beyonce. And at that meeting, my sports media colleagues yesterday basically, you know, verified as much. It was like they're interviewing the Queen of England. Like, nobody wanted to step on her toes. Opening with that song was maybe the most magisterial beginning to a press conference in the history of press conferences.
Okay, I think that settles.
I'm not going to be the guy to defame Beyonce.
All right, that settles it. All right, Pablo Torre, senior writer for ESPN.com, with us from our NPR studios in New York. Neil Minkoff, he's a former doctor turned healthcare consultant, a contributor to the National Review, with us from Boston. Arsalan Iftikhar is a civil rights attorney, founder of themuslimguy.com. Jimmy Israel, writer and culture critic and adjunct professor at Cuyahoga Community College. Thank you all so much.
Peace.
Thank you.
Good weekend.
Yep.
And remember, if you can't get enough Barbershop Buzz on the radio, look for our Barbershop podcast in the iTunes store or at NPR.org. That's our program for today. This is Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin. Let's talk more on Monday.
Home of the brave.